This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 15th of May, 1957. The title of this lecture is Dummy Auditing Step 4, Handling Originations. This lecture is 20 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Dummy Auditing Step Number 4, Handling Originations. The fourth thing an auditor has to do in that order is to handle an origin from a PC. It's actually true that when you are handling Tone 40 processes, you do not handle the PC's originations. That is very true. But if you will look on the HCA, HPA chart, the chart of the long course, you will find something quite interesting. You will find that these Tone 40 processes are in the minority amongst processes. And in all processes, not Tone 40, a PC's originations are handled. Remember that. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. If you're handling Tone 40, which is just pure positive postulating, you, of course, are not worried about anybody's opinion, origin, condition, or anything else. You simply want him to do certain things, and he finds out that his beingness can be controlled, and therefore that he can control it. We are really not controlling people. We're positive postulating, really, because we are not going to punish them if they don't do what we say, and most men understand that as control. And so in these very, very high-toned processes, we do not handle the origin of the preclear. Well, what do we mean by an origin of a preclear? He volunteers something all on his own, and do you know that's an index of case? That's a very good index of case. Does the person volunteer anything on his own? Old-time auditor uses this, by the way, as a case index. He said, this fellow isn't getting any better. He hasn't offered up anything yet. See, he didn't originate. He didn't originate communication. You know, that's the hardest thing to get an organization to do, to originate a communication. You actually could work in the direction of getting a preclear to originate a communication in spite of the fact that you just previously were running him on Tone 40 processes. The fellow, he originated the communication that his arms and legs felt like they were just going to fall off. You said, give me your hand. Thank you. My head's cutting off now. I know it's going to fall off. Give me your hand. Thank you. Good Tone 40. But on control of person, the first two processes are Tone 40, but book mimicry, and the next process up the line from it, hand space mimicry, are not Tone 40. And originations by the preclear are not only handled, they are encouraged. So remember that we have not lost out of the galaxy of processes the fact that the preclear is as well as he can originate a communication. That means he can stand at cause on the communication formula. And that's a desirable point for him to reach. You see, in controlling people, we are really only showing them that they can be controlled, that it is possible for their possessions to be controlled, don't you see? And then they eventually decide that these are controllable, and that people are controllable, and things are controllable, and their body's controllable. And they say, wonderful, wonderful, look, I'll try. And before that, they didn't even try. So we're controlling a person's possessions or body only until this person then himself decides to take a hand in it too. And then he finds out that control is possible. But most people don't originate. Circuits originate, computers originate, compulsive outflows originate. When you first start to use Tone 40 on a person, you will apparently see originations. But they are not originations. They are re-stimulations being dramatized. There's a big difference between a re-stimulation being dramatized and an origination. It's whether or not the Thetan said it. Did he say it? Or was it just a circuit starting up? Well, you can start up circuits and actually throw them into being, and you'll see that these are not originations. But when an origination appears in anything but a tone 40 process, you handle it. You handle it. And you must handle it well and conclusively. There are preclears who have had astonishing things happen to them, who have tried to communicate them to the auditor, who have failed to do so, and have then sunk into apathy. And just gone right on out of session because their communication, origination, was not handled properly by the auditor. There are instances of this in many of them. Tone 40 processes do not particularly violate this. An understanding of what they are takes place rather rapidly with the preclear, and he doesn't expect you to. But if he is really getting up, if he's graduated into being a human being, and he's getting up there, and he originates something, you answer it. Now, he's liable to say the most astonishing things to him. And if you don't handle them, he's liable to drop into apathy about the whole thing. So you must handle them well, because they're always unexpected. I would say that unexpectedness actually should be part of the definition of an origination. Because they're quite often completely off the subject. They take you completely by surprise. They're apparently not at all what you expected him to say. You know, the fellow says, I'm 8 feet back of my head. Well, what do you do? In the old days, we might have gone right on to Route 1. We don't today. We handle the origination. He says, a whole back of my head feels like it's on fire. Well, once upon a time, an auditor, used to be an old technical phrase, by the way, he Q&A'd. In other words, he did what the preclear did. Anytime the preclear changed, the auditor changed. That's the deadliest crime in auditing. Preclear changes because he's being processed, and the auditor changes the process. Q&A, you see, the preclear changed, the auditor changed. Well, that isn't what you do. He says, the back of my head's on fire. Once upon a time, we might have handled this. We might have gone right in there and said, oh, that's very good. We finally gotten a somatic on this fellow, and we would have handled it in some fashion or other and questioned him about it and audited it and so forth. Well, we found out that this stuck people on the time track. So therefore, we do not do that anymore. So what do we do when he says, the back of my head's on fire? Do we ignore it? Well, we're running tone 40 processes, we ignore it. But if we're auditing any other process, of which there are many in CCH, we handle the origin. And an auditor who has not been trained to do this will very often find himself very embarrassed. But how about in the walk away world, huh? The world that is ambulant and moving around and spinning quietly or noisily, as the case may be. Do you ever have to handle an origin in it? Well, I'll dare say that every argument you've ever gotten into was because you did not handle an origin. Every time you've ever got into trouble with anybody, you can trace it back on the track and find out there was an origination someplace along the lines you didn't handle. The person walked in, he said, whee, said, I've just passed with the highest mark in the whole school. And you say, I'm awfully hungry. Shouldn't we go out and eat? You'll find yourself in a fight. He feels ignored. He originated a communication to have you prove to him that he was there and he was solid. Most little kiddies get frantic about their parents when their parents don't handle their originations properly. Because handling an origination merely tells the person, all right, I heard it, you're there. You might say it's a sort of a form of acknowledgement, but it's not. It's the communication formula in reverse. But the auditor's still in control if he handles the origin. Otherwise, the communication formula goes out of his control, and he is at effect point, no longer at cause point. An auditor continues at cause point. So, let's look this over. The handling of an origin has a great deal of use, and it, until recently, was the least pat step in Scientology. How did you handle an origin? And we finally found out, I finally had cognition myself, because I tried for a long time to communicate this to people. tried for a long time to communicate this to people, and they still blundered on it occasionally, and finally found out something that did seem to communicate. There are three steps in handling an origin. You're saying, do fishes swim? You see, here's the setup. The preclear is sitting in the chair, and the auditor sitting across from the preclear, and the auditor is saying, do fishes swim or do birds fly? And the preclear says, yes, and by the way, I had somebody very upset one time. He said, do birds fly? And I said, no. And, you know, I threw the auditor completely out of session. Really remarkable. He didn't expect that one at all. He immediately went into an argument with me concerning the aerodynamic capabilities of birds. I was at once flunked. Now, here is this this factor now entering. Do fishes swim? Preclear answers, do fishes swim? Preclear doesn't answer, do fishes swim? The preclear says, you know, your dress is on fire, or I'm 8 feet back of my head, or is it true that all cats weigh 1.8 kilograms? See? Wog, wog. Where did this come from? Well, although it's usually circuitry or something like that at work when it's that far off beam, it is nevertheless an origin. How do you handle it? Well, you don't want the preclear to go out of session, and he would if you handled it wrongly. So, one, you answer it. Two, you maintain ARC briefly. But you maintain ARC. You don't spend any time at it, but you just maintain ARC. And three, you get the preclear back on the process. One, two, three. You spend too much time in two, and you'll be doing wrong. You say, what is an origin? All right. He says, I'm 8 feet back of my head. That's an origin. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, you're supposed to answer it. In this particular case, you would say to him something on the order of, you are... You mean, as I've heard the communication, you know. It's made an effect on me, you know. You are. Now, in maintaining ARC, you can skimp that second one if you handle the third one expertly enough. See? The least important one is the second one. But the most deadly thing you can do is to utterly neglect the second one of maintaining ARC. That's deadly. But you can skimp it if you really... punch it into the third one, which is to say getting back into session. So he says, I'm 8 feet back of my head. You say, you are. You know, it's got a bing, you know. What he said really, really hit, you know. He's kind of wog-wog about this. He's not sure what this is all about. You are. And the fellow says, yes. Well, you say, well... what did I say that made that happen? Well, you said, do birds fly? And I thought of myself as a bird, and I guess that's the way it is, you know? But I have 8 feet back of my head. You say, well, it's pretty routine. Reassure him, you know, maintain the ARC is pretty routine. Now, what was that auditing question there? I thought, oh, you asked me to... birds fly. You say, that's right. Well, do birds fly? Back in session. You can't can this. You can't put it into a can and put a label on it and say, this is how you do it always, because it's always something peculiar. But you can say these three steps are followed. I'll give you an example. So you say, do birds fly? And he says, I have a blinding headache. You say, you do. Is it bothering you, that's the ARC, too much to carry on with the session? And you reach number three at once, you see. Oh, no, it's pretty bad, though. You say, well, let's go on with it, shall we? Maybe it'll do something with it, maintaining ARC. He says, well, all right. And you're right back onto it again. Two birds fly. One of the trickiest ones of these is, what in my question reminded you of that? The fellow says, well, wasn't very much, you know, and just so-and-so. He explains it to you, and you say, well, good. Do birds fly? And you're right back in session again. You got the idea? Three parts, and that's the important thing. You have to learn how to handle these things. The instructor provides the, quote, pre-clear, unquote, with a list of unexpectednesses that he springs on the auditor. Now, at the same time that we are doing this, we can get much more complicated, particularly toward the end of that session, by just trying out a communication bridge. And a communication bridge from do birds fly to do fishes swim, and from do fishes swim back to do birds fly. A communication bridge is a very easy thing. It simply closes off the process you were running, maintains ARC, and opens up the new process on which you are about to embark. And if you could look at it as two V's, the points facing each other with a line between the bottoms of the two V's, you've got the idea, you would see that one process which you have been running is closed on down to nothing easily by gradients. You say, how about running this just three or four more times and then we'll quit, okay? We give you warning, you see. We're closing the process off. We do run it three or four more times. Then we say, well, how are you doing? We never ask people, by the way, how do you feel? This as-is is havingness. We say, how are you doing? And he said, well, not too badly, and so on. Well, anything happen there while we were running do fishes swim? Anything happen while we were running that? And he says, well, I don't know. I got a little bit of reality. I think I felt like fish for a couple of moments there. Well, I feel now about that, so on. It's okay? You're doing all right, are you? And he says, not too badly. So, well, let's go over on to do birds fly. It's an interesting process, and it just goes like this. I ask you, do birds fly, and you answer me. And how about running that? And he says, well, all right, okay. You've established the agreement again, and away we go. Actually, it's three contracts in a row. And the contract is to stop the process we're running. The next contract is we are in an auditing session, binding this, you know, as a continuing auditing session. And the third contract is simply, we have a new process we would like to run, and I want your signature on this dotted line that you will run it. That actually is communication bridge, and so we shift from one to the other of these two things. The reason we do this is so pre-clear will not be startled by change. And if we change too rapidly in a session, we stick the pre-clear in the session every time. Particularly some pre-clear is pretty wog-wog. It gets very stuck. We say, do birds fly, do birds fly, do birds fly, do fishes swim. We give him a chance to recover. In other words, we give him some warning. And that's what a comm bridge is for. The handling of origins, however, is the most important one of this one, because we could leave it up to the HPA-HCA instructor to polish you off on comm bridges if you weren't perfect. And I don't think anybody will ever get completely perfect onto a comm bridge. Comm bridges are not things of great perfection, since pre-clears are always somewhat disturbed the moment a person departs from a duplication. And remember, a comm bridge still does that. But you learn how to handle origins, you'll never be taken by surprise by a pre-clear. You'll be right in there pitching. The session will keep on. I've seen an auditor sit with his mouth open, oh, for 20, 30 seconds after some pre-clear has said something fantastic. He just doesn't know what to make of it, what to do with it. Well, you answer it, you maintain ARC, and you get him back in session. Thank you.